happy to see IndyMedia here. Over the years, our country, the bastion of freedom and democracy, has found undemocratic ways to crush dissent. If our government could do that to us at home, we shouldn't be surprised when this policy is exported abroad. Regime change drips from the lips of the Bush administration hawks, but regime change American style is nothing new. In the 1960s, when John F. Kennedy defeated Richard Nixon in our country's closest election at that time, Kennedy's inaugural address set out a new vision for our country. At a time when our country held the power to extinguish poverty or to extinguish man, Kennedy chose to set our country on a path to tackle poverty and to raise the standard of freedom and liberty around the globe. In word as well as deed, Kennedy set out to make the world safe for diversity, to make America safe in a diverse world. He embarked upon a path to respect the cries of freedom from others and to make a new world order where, quote, the strong are just and the weak secure and the peace preserved. He challenged our generation to space exploration, medical achievement, arms control, and to fight against, quote, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. And the amazing thing, considering where we stand today, is that Kennedy probably wrote that speech himself. Despite what the revisionists would have us believe about him, JFK rejected war against a smaller, weaker, poorer country, began to work for detente with the Soviets, and threatened to, quote, scatter the CIA to the four winds. Now, that was leadership for a new generation. And at that time, we had a choice, as Kennedy pointed out. Not a Pax Americana imposed with American weapons of war, not for a peace for our time, but for a peace for all time. But snipers' bullets took that America away from us. And almost in rapid succession, bullets took MLK and Bobby Kennedy away from us, too. It has recently come to my attention that Bobby was considering naming Martin Luther King Jr. as his running mate. Imagine the America we might have had. But when confronted with evil, it was much easier for most of us to accept the palaver that was handed to us from the politicians of the day rather than to challenge the fundamentals of the system that had stolen our promise as an emerging military, economic, and moral power in the world. That stolen promise is chronicled in their own words in the COINTELPRO papers. In addition, we know that local newspapers were enlisted in our government's COINTELPRO efforts. The FBI would supply information to favorable reporters, and in some cases, even gave them the questions to ask. The stories would then be written locally and then republished nationally, and the target activist's credibility would be tremendously damaged. And the mission of COINTELPRO was to discredit and even to, quote, neutralize black leadership. They wrote that down. Neutralize is their word, too. Phone call and letter campaigns were organized by the FBI to prevent positive coverage of targeted black leadership, and at least 16 FBI offices around the country were charged with eliciting such cooperation with the press. While blacks received the lion's share of mistreatment by the FBI and other branches of government, Chicanos, Puerto Rican independence activists, American Indian Movement members, and progressive white organizations were targeted too. And a careful review of the documents reveals that their one abiding fear was this, that whites would join with black people and people of color and make our country live up to its promise. They were afraid of people like me and people like you coming together in one common cause to make our country better. Sadly, given the unchallenged inequities that exist in our country today, Would you say that they've won? Our goal ought to be to come together in such numbers so as to not give them one night's sleep. Today, the press cooperates in the deafening silence on the questions that still remain about September 11th, the Iraq War, what we're doing in Afghanistan, the $2.3 trillion lost by the Pentagon, that was when I was there asking that question, and the more than $1 billion each month that the Pentagon can't account for now as it spends money supposedly for Iraq. How is it that DynCorp, a company notorious for the sex slavery and trafficking by some of its employees, get a sole source contract from the Pentagon to provide all of the anthrax and smallpox vaccines to our soldiers? 400,000 have been given these shots now. What the heck are we doing in Venezuela? Who are we hurting in Colombia? Why are we stoking wars in Africa and then blaming the Africans? Why have we allowed 3 million people to die in Democratic Republic of Congo at the hands of our Ugandan and Rwandan proxies? What does Congo have that makes that price so worth it? Why is Afghanistan's poppy production climbing now that our guys are in charge? And since we're on the subject of drugs, who exactly has been punished for our government's role with drug traffickers in the Iran-Contra scandal? Locally, we saw the Atlanta Constitution protect the Bush administration when I asked, what did the administration know and when did it know it about the events of September 11th? And the Atlanta Constitution led the charge to protect the malodorous air that surrounds the White House special deals with corporate criminals like DynCorp, Global Crossing, and the company that still sends Dick Cheney, our vice president, a check every year, Halliburton. I tried to warn you and the American people of the dangers that I saw. For that, Sonny Perdue's current chief of staff counseled a known black female, known Republican, to run as a Democrat in the Democratic primary. Republicans fed her campaign coffers, and 48,000 Republicans then crossed over and voted for her. And so instead of having me in Washington, D.C. fighting for you today, you've got Governor Sonny and an abundance of what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. warned us about: sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Our challenges today include this phenomenon of crossover voting, which, when coupled with seriously diluted minority voting strength, in essence, harkens back to the white primary that was outlawed three generations ago. Voting machines that leave us no trail or proof of how or even whether our vote has been counted is another hidden and quiet way to crush dissent. Murder, as in the example of Fred Hampton. False imprisonment, like Geronimo Jijaga Pratt, have been means used by our government to get rid of irritants, a domestic sort of regime change. For Fred Hampton and Geronimo Pratt could have served the people of our country. And instead of spending 27 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit, why couldn't Geronimo Pratt spend 27 years in Congress making our country a better place? These actions all took place prior to the USA Patriot Act. So we shouldn't be surprised now if we see star chamber trials and military tribunals. They're just the tip of the iceberg of what we have to look forward to if we fail to challenge this new vision for our country that exists not just on the Republican side, but on both sides of the aisle. The most important point now is that every time we fail to act, those who do not hold our beliefs and values become emboldened. From 1963, we drifted to 1968. From 1968, the deaths of our dreamers was complete. We don't hear any presidential candidates today sounding like Bobby Kennedy, do we? To the extent that we don't hear their voices today, the other side has already won. And at some point, we all have to act to change that. In 1963, Mario Savo, leader of the Berkeley Free Speech Movement, told us, "There is a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. It is time now to stop this machine, and I know together we can do it. Thank you."